Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Bechoros Daf Talad. We are holding at the Mishnah, which is on Gilmon Beis, two lines off the bottom. Now, we know that in the Midbar, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to take account of all the Levim. And the total was 22,300. And the Levim were designated instead of the Bechorim. As the Pasuk says, Lakachta asa Levim li, designate the Levim for me, for my service, ani Hashem, tachas kol Bechorim b'Bnei Yisrael, instead of the firstborns amongst the B'nai Yisrael, who up until that point were the legion of Hashem. They were the representatives of the rest of the nation. They would bring the karbanos, etc. So now the Levim were designated in their stead. Likewise, the pasuk continues, Ves behemas halavim, tachas kol b'chor behemas b'nei Yisrael. Right, this is in the beginning of Amidbar, right, Paragimel, that the behemos, animals of Levim, again, they represented the behemos, the b'chorois of B'nai Yisrael. So instead of granting the b'chor of the Yisrael's animals, the b'chor of the Levim animal was designated instead. And that exempted the B'nai Yisrael, who now no longer needed to be paid their human b'chayrim or to give away their animal b'chayrim. There's a question of whether it refers even to the kosher animal b'chayr, there are three categories of b'chayr. There's the b'chayr Adam, human b'chayr, the firstborn son. You have to redeem it for five selah to the kohen. We have the peter chamar, the firstborn donkey, which is redeemed with a seh, goat or sheep, which is given to the kohen. We have the b'chayr behemah tahira, firstborn kosher animal, which is again given to the kohen, and if it's unblemished, bore as a carbon. So there's a shaila of whether Tosfos learns that the Levim also exempted the Bnei Yisrael from offering their firstborn kosher animals. Rashi says it only relates to the peder chamar. In any case, the point is that Levim were designated in lieu of Bnei Yisrael. So they now became the new designees instead of the Bechorim, who were considered outstanding and special and servers of Hashem. This was certainly something which was highlighted when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, right? Hashem says, I designated the Bechorim for me because they were saved when Makas Bechorim took out the firstborn Egyptians. And the B'chor of Bnei Yisrael were saved, they now became committed to Hashem's service, designated as Hashem's people, and eventually the Levim took that slot. Okay, so the Levim exempted the Bnei Yisrael. They represented the Bnei Yisrael in this context. Says the Mishnah, Kohanim Levim. Now when we speak about Levim, of course it relates to Kohanim as well, who came from the Shevet Levi. So Kohanim Levim, Peturin Mekal V'Chomer, they are exempt. Exempt from what? In the Gemara, it will seem that the Mishnah meant to say exempt from what we're talking until now in the Perek, Pidyon Peder Chamor. So if the Kohen Levi has a firstborn donkey, no need to be concerned about it. He's exempt from any halachos of Pidyon Peder Chamor. Why? Based on logic, Mekal V'Chomer. Look, in Potur Yisrael Yisrael B'Midbar of the Levim, we're understanding this to mean that the humans, the Levim, the Kohen, the people, could serve as an exchange. They can address, they can exempt, by their very being, by their being designated for Hashem. They now exempted, they came instead of, in Potur Yisrael Yisrael, the firstborn donkeys of Israel by Midbar and the Midbar Dinu, certainly they exempt themselves, they exempt their own Bechor status. Dinu Shiyiftu Rosh Al Atzmon. Right? So if they exempt the Bnei Israel in the Midbar, certainly their designation as servers of Hashem absolves them of referring to the Bechor element within them and addressing that separately. Okay? Says the Gemara, really? Is that how it went? If you look in the Pesukim, it seems to be a little different. Inu Patri. You mean that the Levim themselves, the people of Levim, they addressed, they exempted the animals amongst the Bnei Israel? If you look in the Pesukim, it would seem that it's human for human and animal for animal. Adam, the Levim, humans, Adam, Patar, they exempted the humans amongst Bnei Israel, the Bechoros, and it was the Behema, the animal of the Levi, you know, the seh that he owned, that was considered a de facto exchange. Behema Patron exempted, addressed the firstborn donkeys amongst Bnei Israel. Behema Patron. Look at the pasuk. Kachas alavim tachas Bnei Israel. Levim themselves, the humans, were taken instead of the Bechor Bnei Israel, and Vehes Behema Salim Havim Tachas Behem. The Behema of the Levim came instead of the Behema of the Israel. So it wasn't humans to animals, it was humans to human, and Yamna to animal. Amar Abaye. You're right, the Mishnah is not referring to the human Levim. Hachi Kama, the Mishnah means like this. Kayhanu Levim, Turin Behem Tom, and Bikal Bechor. The animal of the Kayan and Levi is potter from Halacha of Bechor. Because if it took care of the Yisrael in the Midbar, certainly it's self-exempted for all time. If in the Midbar, the Behemah of the Levi took care of the Behemah of the Yisrael, then certainly it would make sense should have kias shalatzman, that it would take care of its own self, meaning the animal of the Levi is exempt. Amalei Rava v'apatru inu ketani, says Rava, look at the literal wording of the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Impatru Asha Yisrael b'Midbar." Apparently, we're speaking about the Levi himself, in human form, not as animal. Furthermore, "Va'id im Isa." If what you're saying is so, that the firstborn donkey of a Levi is exempt because of this kavachomer, afilu mibcher behima tahir niftaru. So the same exact analogy could be applied to the firstborn kosher animal of a Levi. If it had the ability to exempt the Yisrael, certainly itself. Alam atnan. So why do we have an omission later in the field gimel leniftaru mibchay behem atayra? Elam epidin haben patech amar. There's no exemption for a Levi. For his firstborn kosher animal, that has a din of bechor, which goes to the kohen. Elam epidin haben patech amar. He's only exempt from two things. Pidna ben, of his firstborn son, and Petach Hamar, for his donkey. Elama Rava, says Rava, I'll explain to you what the Mishnah means to say. The Mishnah actually is not referring to Petach Hamar at all, rather only to Pidyon HaBen, the human Pidyon. V'achitoni, Mishnah means like this. Kohanim Ulevim Peturin Hein Atzman. The Kohen Levi is Potter from Pidyon HaBen. Mi Kal V'chayim, based on Kal V'chayim, im Efkiyo Kedushasan, Shall Levim, Kedusha Shall Yisrael Bamidbar. If the Levi with his status represented the Yisrael and exempted the Yisrael, the Bechorim amongst the humans in the Midbar, Imefkiya Kedusha Shall Levim, Kedusha Shall Yisrael Bamidbar, Lo Yafkiya Es Atzmon. Certainly, it can exempt itself, meaning he's already designated for Hashem. He need not address the Bechor aspect within him or his sons. So according to Rava, the Mishnah is speaking strictly about Pidyon HaBen, the human Pidyon, the human Bechor. No Ashkan Adam, so we've established that Levim Potter from Pidyon HaBen. Behema Tmeya Minola, what about exempting them from Pidyon Petach Chamor, firstborn donkey, Minola Makra? There's a passage which links them. It's all or nothing. Amakra, Ach, Padai Sifte es Bechor Adam, redeemed the firstborn son, Ves Bechor Behemat Mea Tifne, first donkey. And we link the two. Kol Sheyeshne Bechor Adam, one who is obliged to redeem his firstborn son, such as all of us except for the Kohen and Levim. Yeshne Bechor Behemat Mea, likewise, he is committed to the halacha of pidyon petach hamor, but otherwise not. V'chol she'enim chor adam, a levi or a kohen is exempt from chor adam. Likewise, enoi is also not connected to b'chor b'hem atmei, and therefore is exempt from both. Okay, so at this point, what do we have? We have Rava, that the Mishnah is speaking strictly about B'chor Adam, and Behemat Meya is learned by way of a linkage. We have Abaye, the Mishnah is speaking about B'chor Behemat Meya, and exempts them based on Al-Kal B'chor. Amalei Rav Safa L'Abaye, I have a question on you, who says that if the Levi is, exempted the Yisrael's Chamar in the Midbar, certainly can do it for all time. So it's based on what happened in the Midbar, right? And likewise, according to Rava, if a Levi, as a person, could exempt the Bukhar Adam in the Midbar, likewise, for all time. So it's hinged on what happened in the Midbar. So I have an interesting question. That works if the Levi today was one who had a seh in the Midbar, but let's say he didn't have a seh in the Midbar, so he wasn't really covered by this system. So then he doesn't have the ability to exempt himself. I mean, if it's based on the fact that he exempted one in the Midbar, let's say he didn't own an animal. Next question, let's say a Bechor Adam was less than 30 days old in the Midbar. So Levi was 2 weeks old in the Midbar. He didn't have the ability to exempt Yisrael. So you mean to say he's chayv and pidyon haben for the wrong? Look, the Dach, according to you, the Amos says, Behemtam, that the Mishnah is exempting the animal of the Kohen and Levi. Because if he could exempt the Yisrael, certainly he himself is self-absolved, right? Behemtam. So Ben Levi, the Havli Seh, and Ben Levi, who happened to own a Seh in the Midbar, the Afka, who actually, right, went ahead and exempted the Yisrael Livka, so then, for all time, he becomes exempt as well. But let's say the Havli Seh, the Livka, let's say he didn't own an animal in the Midbar, to actually, actualize this exemption upon the Yisrael. So he wasn't a part of the system, like Lifka, so then his firstborn donkey is not exempt. And Ben Lididach, Ben Lirava, and whether according to you or according to Rava, who exempts a Levi and Kain from the Pidyon HaBen of Bechor Adam, based on the fact that they exempted the Bechor of Yisrael, only if he did so, if he's old enough to do so. Ben Chodesh, the Afka, if the Levi was a month old, in which case he was covered in this account, and he was involved in that exemption system. Livka, so now he should be self-exempted as well, because if he did so for him, certainly for himself. Pachas mechaydash le'afka. Let's say he was less than a month old, in which case he was not included in the count, and he didn't exempt the Yisrael. He wasn't involved in the system. Livka, do you mean to say that when he grows up, he's not exempt? And it's really not so, because we know that all the Levim were exempt. Third question, number three, Levia. What about a female Levi? A woman from a Levi family who married a regular Yisrael. Loitivka, so her son should not be exempt from Pidyon HaBen. Why? Because only the males were included in that, on the count of 22,000. And it's not so. Amar Rav Ata Bar Rava, we have halacha. That even a Levia, a female Levi, Shioda, who gave birth, her firstborn son is exempt. B'na Pata Mechamish Lem. Says the Mahalai Kashi. This third Kashi can be easily addressed. Like the Mar Breid Rav Yisim from the Ravi quotes Rava, the Amar Petarech. Look at the Pasuk describing the firstborn son. It relates to the mother released by the womb. Vepetarechem Tal Rachman. It depends on the Rechem, whose Rechem it is. And since it's from a Levi family, he's exempt. And we'll see in a minute. It's based on the fact that the Gemara in a minute will tell us that the whole class of Levim were exempt. We don't differentiate between this and that. So once you have that established, as to the question of male-female, well, that's not a relevant factor. As long as you belong to a Levi, group. And really, there's another kasha before we come back to tie everything together. Kasha number four, but Aaron HaKohen was never even counted. So he never really took part in this crossover and this exemption. He wasn't really counted there. Lifka, so you mean that he's not exempt from Bechor? The son, you have a brisa. Lama nokod al aron, shebechomash hapkudim, Chumash HaPkudim is Parshas Bamidbar where they count it. So there it says Asher Pakad Moshe V'Aaron. The word Aaron has dots over it. Dots diminish. They indicate shrinkage of the literal meaning, which means to say Shlo Yehoya Bo'is HaMinyan. He was exempted. He wasn't included in that count. So he wasn't included. He wasn't counted on to exempt the Yisrael. If he didn't exempt, how could he exempt himself? If it's all based on each other. Oh, makro. Here comes one answer for everything. Pasuk says, Hashem designated the Levim in lieu of the firstborn in Israel. V'hoyuli ha-Levim. Last word in the Pasuk, ha-Levim. All the Levim are in the same boat. Hukshu ka-Levim. They're all connected to each other. We don't differentiate whether you're a month old, less than a month old, whether you're counted or not counted, it's all one and the same. Whatever happens to them happens to you as well. One last question, what about Kehanim? We're dwelling on Levim, but Kehanim are not being mentioned here, and they weren't really counted together with. So at that point there were really only three Kehanim, Aaron and Lazav Yisamar, and they were part of the Amram family. So really they were included, but the Chazanish explains, but let's say a Kohen was less than a month old or didn't have all these elements, didn't have a set. So how do we know to include the Kehanim and sort of give them a blanket exemption just like the Levim? Because Kehanim and Levim are synonymous. The term Levim, we'll see, is a reference to Kehanim as well. We don't differentiate. Okay, so that's the question. Kehanim and all, how do we know to exempt all Kehanim as well? Answer, Kederushum and Levi. Don't Rishum and Levi. Be'esim v'arba mekoymois. Look throughout Tanakh, you'll find no less than 24 locations that nikru Kehanim Levim. The term Levim is a reference to Kehanim as well. V'ze echad mehen, for instance, in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Kehanim Levim, Bnei Tzadik. Bnei Tzadik were the Kehanim, and they were called Levim, Kehanim Levim. So the same exemption that applies to Kehanim regarding Pidin HaBen, Pidin Badachamar, applies to Levim, to Levim, applies to Kehanim as well. Well, Doris Manola. Fine, so we established that the Kehanim, Levim, and the Midbar were exempt based on the Pasuk, on the Kal V'Chomer. But what about for all time, future generations? Are they exempted as well? How do we know? Amakro, v'hoyu li alavim. V'hoyu li alavim. V'hoyu is something of permanence. V'aviyasa, in their status, you, they remain forever. So the exemption continues on. Ask the Gemara. You know, we were working on a notion that the seh of a Levi was considered a de facto exchange for the chamor of the firstborn donkey of the Yisrael. How do we know? We might have a seh. How do we know that the seh of the Levi did the trick? Maybe it was the chamor of the Levi that did the trick. Amar Rav Chisda Nema Kesav L'Doris. We assume that it's consistent with later generations. Nema Kesav L'Doris. Benema Kesav L'Doris. We know that in the future, right, L'Doris, how do we redeem a firstborn son with money? Five shkolim. And likewise, in the future, how do we redeem a firstborn donkey with a set? That's the, you know, all-time system. Nemar kesev l'doris. V'nemar sol l'doris. Ma kesev amal l'doris. Just like the monetary method used regarding pidin haben for all time, that was the same system used in the Midbar. By padu l'doris, this system, this money was used l'doris, by padu l'eser shah. Likewise, it was used to redeem the leftover Bechoris, right? Remember there was some discrepancy there. The Pasuk says that there were 22,000 Levim that could be used to represent the 22,000 Bechorim. But thing is, there were 22,273 Bechorim amongst the Yisrael. What happened to 273 left over? Pasuk says, for those they had to make a pidyon, a real pidyon, with five Sloim. Right? So it was the same system. that applies in general, applied at that point for the leftover b'chayrim. Likewise, a system employed exchanging the patachama, which is the seh, used l'doris, by padl by seshol, likewise was employed at that point, meaning, although the Yisrael did not have to set aside a seh, because it was the seh of the Levi, that would exempt it. Ask the Gemara, who says you can compare the two systems? Maybe money has an advantage, and that can be more impactful than a seh. Malakasav shekin poitim by hekdeshes masasheni. Money can be used to redeem hekdesh material, masasheni material. So that's why it was used l'doris, used in the midbar, but perhaps the seh system, which doesn't have this advantage, was not used in the midbar. Ela makra, rather we have a pasuk, which tells us likewise. Ach padai sift, es b'chor adam, ves b'chor habehimat meyotif. The pasuk says, you meant to redeem the firstborn son, the firstborn animal. So we make that linkage. Ma b'chor adam, just like by the b'chor adam, loy chilakto. Bein l'doris, bein l'yish ha'shah, regarding b'chor adam, and the method employed in redeeming the firstborn son, i.e. the money. We don't differentiate between future generations or the midbar. Bekesev, and both, it was done with money. Af bein matmei, likewise the donkeys. L'tachlik bein l'doris, bein l'yish ha'shah, b'seh. No differentiation between later generations or the midbar. It was a seh used to exempt it. In this case, it was the seh of the Levi, which took care of the chamor of the Yisrael. Amar Rav Chanina. Here's an interesting halacha. Seh echad shel ben Levi. Did they have to match up the numbers? Meaning, let's say the total amount of sehs in the Levi's possession were a smaller amount than the firstborn donkeys by the Yisraelim. Did the numbers have to match? No. Seh echad shel ben Levi, even a single seh belonging to the Levi, can address a zillion patar, would exempt kama pitri chamerim Yisrael, many firstborn donkeys amongst Israel. Amar Abaye Teda says, Abaye, I'll prove to you that is true. Sharamana kosav oitim ba'adam, we find that there was some leftovers by the human count, because, like we said, there was a 273 discrepancy which had to be addressed separately. But we don't find any overflow by the donkeys, despite the fact that the members of our nation were way more numerous than the 22,000 Levim. Assumingly, they had many, many, many donkeys. So why weren't we trying to match up the numbers? We don't find any mentioning of leftover numbers by the behemah. Apparently, it's because one seh of a Levi can address many chamer. How do you know this is the reason? Israel didn't have many animals, so there was no issue of overrun. You can't say that. The Chassid Pasuk says, Reuben had many animals. Okay, but still, I mean, many can be many, but we're talking about addressing merely the firstborn. Who says there were so many firstborns in proportion to the the animals by the Levim? Even so, maybe Pshutim the Levim, the regular non-firstborn set of the Levites, Havu Kaimi Lebadei B'chor Yisrael, were a perfect match in terms of numbers to the firstborn Jewish donkeys. So maybe there was no issue of mismatched numbers. Amakra, that's what we have. We have a pasuk which tells us that, yeah, it doesn't have to be one-to-one. Amakra behev behemes alevim, so a single behem of a levi, tachas behem tam, instead of the many behemos of the Israel, behema achas, one behem of a levi, tachas behemos harbe, took care of many behemos of the Israel. Behema behema rabba, perhaps the term behema is not single, it's just referring to the class. Behema rabba, like we have in Yaina, behema rabba, many animal, right? The animal family is called behema rabba, so sometimes singular refers to many. So when it says behes behemas alavim, who says it means one? Maybe it means many, many to many. Imkain, because if the pasuk were to mean that, it would match the terms. It would say single, single, double, double. It wouldn't say single and many. The pasuk would say oy behema tachas behema. Either it would say behema of Levi, instead of behema of Israel. So it would mean many to many. Oy behem tam tachas behem tam, or many to many. Why would it switch in the middle? My behema tachas behem tam, it says behemas Levi, instead of behem tam of the Yisrael, the single to the many. Shema mina, apparently the pasuk is teaching us a point here. Chad patar tuva, that even a single animal of a Levi can address many. Amar Rav, afanan mitanina, you know what? It's old news, we have it in the Mishnah. Suppose the Yisrael took a set, exchanged it for his firstborn donkey, and gave it to the Kohen as required. The Kohen says, look, I'm not an expert in animal raises. Have it back. I'll sell it back to you. Yisrael can take it back and reuse the same animal, recycle it, to redeem another chamer, because it has no kedusha. It's a monetary commitment. He gave it to him already. He bought it back. He can reuse it. It's not like, you know, a truma. Once it's made truma, you can't designate it as truma again for another crop. It's been saturated with kedusha. It's already, you know, filled. But here, it's just a monetary issue. I gave it to him. He gave it back to me. So, likewise in the Midbar. What should hold us back from using one Seva Levi to address many chamerim of Yisrael? There's no limit on that. Rabbi Chanina, time and masnisim mafarish. You're right. Rabbi Chanina was simply explaining. Do you want to, you're wondering why? How could the Mishnah allow us to recycle the same sheep? This is what he meant to say. My time up. I know the Mishnah. I know you know the Mishnah. I'm explaining to you the Mishnah. How could you use the same sheep to redeem many donkeys? How could you recycle this? Mishum desech. Hashem ben Levi. Potter. Kamba. Pitre. Chamer shal Yisrael. Because in the Midbar, that's what happened. Exactly what happened. They took one set to address many. So we see that if there is an allowance to do it, then it works. It's speaking of which, what happened if Yisrael had a firstborn son in the Midbar? Was there a kedusha? Itmar. Rabbi Yechon Amar, yes, kachu b'chorayis b'midbar. The concept of b'chor, by humans, by animal, applied in the Midbar as well. All 40 years. V'shlokash Amar, no way, loy kachu b'chorayis b'midbar. In the Midbar, there was no kedusha b'chorayis. The more we'll explain in a minute. Of course, it did apply to the group of Yisrael that left Mitzrayim. But the next generation was exempt from Bechor. It only was activated when they entered Yisrael. Rabbi Yechon Amar Kachu Bechor is B'midbar. In the middle we have Kedushas Bechorah. Rachmana Amar L'Kachu. Pasuk said so. K'tachsiv. Upon leaving Mitzrayim, he says, Kadosh L'Kam Bechor, all firstborn will have Kedusha. We assume that once the system was activated, it maintained itself throughout. Rish L'Kachu Amar, no way. L'Kachu Bechor is B'midbar. There was no Kedushas Bechor in the middle. K'tachsiv. Pasuk says, once you enter Eretz Yisrael, you'll activate the Kedushas Bechor. Once you enter Eretz Yisrael, apparently there was no Kedusha in the Midbar. So prior to entry, there was no Kedusha. So Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish. Says Rabbi Yechon, have a kashi to Rish Lakish. There's no Kedushas Bechor in the Midbar. The Mishnah in Zvach, which says like this. Ach lukum ha-Mikdash. Mishkan, before the Mishkan was erected, you can have, you know, bamos, private altars, public altars. Now, in the public setting, who took care of the service? The Bechor, firstborn. They were considered designated for Hashem's service. So clearly, in the Midbar, we're talking in the Midbar, Bechor had Kedusha. Unlike your opinion, that there was no Bechor in the Midbar. Amar Lei, but isn't just Mitzrayim. Certainly the ones that left Mitzrayim had Kedusha, and they maintained that Kedusha. But I'm speaking about the ones that came about later, who did not have Kedusha as Bechor. I'll prove to you that we're talking about a fellow that left Mitzrayim, because otherwise, Ben Shana, you see, this was strictly the first year after they left Mitzrayim, because afterwards they already had the Mishkan. So the Mishnah is talking about, the Mishnah is addressing only 1 year. Now, if he was just born, he's barely a year old, how could you suggest that he does service in the Obama? Ben Shana, barely a year old, my bar mevet avoida, who is he capable of doing avoida? Evidently, we're speaking about an older fellow who left Mitzrayim. Of course, he has Kedusha. That's a pretty obvious answer. The Ka'arla, the one that posed this question, my Ka'arla, what was he thinking? He meant to ask like this. Because certainly, if you accept Rabbi Yechon's opinion, Kedusha's Bechor maintained itself throughout the Midbar. For firstborns born in the Midbar as well. So that would justify Hanoch Demi Kar Nami. So the ones that left Mitzrayim initially and had Kedusha then, Nami Lepal Kedushai would explain why the Kedusha never left them. They maintained the Kedusha because the system was active in the Midbar as well for those born later. Eli Amrus, the Pas Kedushai, but according to Yurish Lakish, who says firstborns born in the Midbar were not covered by the system, were not Kaddish. So even the ones that left Mitzrayim as Bechorim, should assume that the Kedusha dissipates because the system was deactivated. So the fact that the Mishnah alludes to a Bechor, true, He left Mitzrayim, but if the Bechor still maintains his Kedusha, apparently it was an active system, even for currently born children or animals. Bidach. Rish Lakish responds, no. Once you have it, you have it. But it was not introduced anew to the new crop. Vidach, the Kaddish. Kaddish, the one that had Kedusha prior, maintains his Kedusha. The Loi Kaddish, but the ones that did not have Kedusha at this point, they haven't left Mitzrayim, they haven't gotten that Kedusha. Loi Kaddish. The Kedusha was not activated on them at this point. Ace, here comes Akash. So once again, Rabbi Yechonon, to Rish Lakish. We have a Bryce, Oisei Ayyim, Shukam Mishkan, the day that the Mishkan was erected, right, the first of Nisan, right? Korvalam Yisrael, so what type of Karbanis were offered on behalf of Yisrael? All kinds, Adorim Adobis, all kinds of donations, Chatayis Vashamais, Bechayrois, okay, that's the key word here, Bechayrois, firstborn kosher animals, which were Karbanis, Umasris, and Master Behem as well. Clearly, there was something called Bechor with Kedusha in the Midbar. Oh, Chinam here as well, but it's just in Mitzrayim. We're speaking about the Bechor that left Mitzrayim, which even I agree, says Rish Lakish, that has Kedusha. And we know. So now, we can actually twist around the equation and support Rish Lakish's opinion. Because it says, Oisei Ayyim. On that day, they offered the Bechiris, which implies that it was a one-chance deal. Who the curve on that day, they brought the Bechiris. Mekan Ve'ech Le'Kurve, past that point, Bechiris were no longer offered, because there was no Kedushas Bechir. That's right to Rish Lakish, actually. Iged Amri, there was a different version of this whole discussion. Eisve Rish Lakish L'Abriecha. Actually, Rish Lakish was the one who presented this price as a challenge to Abriecha. Who says that there were Bechiris in the Midbar, Oisei Ayyim, Shukam, Mishkan, Korvlam, Yisrael, Dorm, Dovis, Hashem, Masai, Shris, right, the same Brisa. But now it's Rish Lakish posing it as a riot himself, and Akash, Dorm, Yechnam. Oisei Ayyim, apparently it was a one-day opportunity. Mikan, Reh, Lechloi, past that point, they had no Bechiris, they had no access to Bechiris, which supports my point that there was no Bechiris in the Midbar. Ema, we can revise the meaning of the Brisa, Mei, Oisei Ayyim, Be'eloch. It wasn't just a one-time opportunity, it was starting. That it was a starting point for these karbonis. What's the point of the b'risa then? To tell you that you can only bring these karbonis starting from that day in the Mishkan, but initially when they had the b'mais, the unofficial, you know, mizbeach, it was not suitable for these karbonis. Alma why chayvois the mumalekar, because you can't. Apparently, you can't bring obligatory karbanos in a bama that you can only do in the Mishkan. So that's why they had to save them for the Mishkan. This, of course, is going on the Chatas and the Asham and the Bechor, not the Dharma Davis. They were donated, they were okay in a bama, but at least those that are obligatory are limited to the Mishkan going forward, but not beforehand. Tashma, here comes another proof to Rabbi Yechanan that the Bechor system was active in the Midbar as well. So Bryce says like this, it turns out that we have three points in history regarding Bechor. B'shloisha mekoymois kachu Bechoris l'Yisrael. Kedushas Bechor amongst Yisrael was activated, was applied three times. B'Mitzrayim, upon leaving Mitzrayim. Right, so the ones that were saved in lieu of the Bechor Mitzrayim experienced that great miracle, and certainly they were now committed to Hashem's service all the way. Uba Midbar, even in the Midbar, we had this system active. Uba Chnisasan Loretz upon entry to Eretz Yisrael. Chnisasan Yisrael Loretz. How do we know? Mitzrayim Awaymer. Mitzrayim, it says, Kadosh Tukah Bechor. Right, instead of the Bechor Mitzrayim, I took the Bechor Yisrael. They have Kadosh. But Midbar Awaymer, Midbar it says, Kadosh Tukah Bechor, Ibn Yisrael. What does it say when we enter Eretz Yisrael? So we activate the system upon entering Eretz Yisrael. Which sounds like Rabbi Yechanan. That even in the Midbar was very much active. Amar Nachman Yitzchak. The Brisa means, who's the role of Bechiris? The Kaddish. the pasuk refers to the kedushas b'chayrim three times. But really, the kedusha wasn't necessarily activated during all those times. Mitzrayim never like kaddish. You mean to say even in Mitzrayim wasn't kaddish? How come in the kaddish? We clarified that point. Even according to Rish Lakish, there was kedusha for the first crop of b'chayrim leaving Mitzrayim. How come? He meant to say like this: mehem kachu, mehem like kachu. That although the pasuk alludes to it three times, some of them is a reference to the active system, such as Mitzrayim, such as entering Eretz Yisrael, but in the Midbar it was not active. Maskel Rapa, I have a question. Uba Midbar Lekashu, there was no activation of the Bechar system in the Midbar, Baksiv, Pekoid, Kol Bechar, Zachal Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk says you have to count up all the Bechar. Right, and then the Levim, right, took care of them, etc. As we're discussing through the whole sugya. Apparently, the newborn, they're talking about a month old there, but chodesh v'machlo, new crop, the new b'chayim. Says the Gemara, you know what? You're right. We have to revise the whole discussion. Elo yitmach yitmach. Rather, if it was learned, it was as follows. Rabbi Yechon Amar kachav le'pasku. Once the kedusha was activated upon leaving Mitzrayim, loy pasku, it never was never suspended. Rish Lakish amar kachu pasku. He says the kedusha was activated upon leaving Mitzrayim and maintained itself throughout the count in the midbar, as we showed, right? But once that count was accomplished, that's it. It was suspended until further notice, until entering Eretz Yisrael. What's the Rish Lakish's position? It's based on the pasuk. Right? That's reactivated only upon entry Eretz Yisrael. El Rabbi Yechon my time. What's Rabbi Yechon's rationale? Why does he insist that the Bechor system was active throughout the Midbar? My time. I'm Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar was a Talmud Rabbi Yechon who seeked to clarify his Rebbe's position. Says, guess what? I had an amazing dream last night. Rabbi Yechon, my Rebbe, Chazoy Bechelma, I saw in a dream, Chazoy Bechelma, and now I know that I'm going to achieve proper clarity, proper understanding in his words. Umilsa, Mal Yos Amin, I'll certainly be zeicha to say good things today. I'm going to have a good explanation. In fact, he followed suit, Amakro, he says, look at the pasuk, Li Yiyu. The Bechorim will be Li Yiyu, they'll be mine. Pavios and you. It's an eternal designation with no suspensions. What does Rabbi Yechon do with Rish Lakish's pasuk, which seems to indicate that the Bechor system only got activated upon entering Eretz Yisrael? Oh, that's for a totally different drasha. Homi Bayalik, Tan Rabbi Shmuel, it's for that, which Tan Rabbi Shmuel taught us. Hashem is promising, Asay Mitzvah, Zu, please. Adhere to this mitzvah of Bechor, Shebeshvila, do it now, Shebeshvila, because on account of that mitzvah, as a reward of that mitzvah, Tikkunos La'aretz will merit entering Eretz Yisrael. Amalei Rav Mordechai Ravashi. So Rav Mordechai told Rav Ashi, you have this version of Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, Atun, you, Hochi, Masnisla, you have studied it in this version, and none but us, we had a different version. If Chamasnin, we had a different version, just the opposite. Reichen Amar like Kotcha Bechares Midbar. Reichen says there was no Kedushas Bechares in the Midbar. Rish Lakish says there was. Rish Lakish Amar Kotcha Bechares in the Midbar. Amar Leishi says Ve'afchis Namit Yufta. Afchis La Lader Blazer. So you're switching everything around. The kashas that were posed between Rabbi Yechon to Rish Lakish are now being posed in the reverse between Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yechon and also Rabbi Lazar, right? Who was known to be a Talmud Rabbi Yechon, and you mean to say that he was looking to explain Rish Lakish, which is unlikely? He says, no, let me explain it to you. I'm not switching the positions, the halachic opinions. No, I'm just switching I'm modifying the terms, the words used to address these positions. Amar Lei, Loi Kitchu, what I meant to say, that Rabbi Yechon, who says Loi Kitchu, he didn't mean there was no Kedushas Bechor in the Midbar, just the opposite. He held that there was Kedushas Bechor, as we had understood until this point. Lekachu means lehuchu li kadesh. There was no need to apply a special kedusha. You don't consciously go out and be mekadosh the bechor, because the system had already been activated upon leaving Mitzrayim, and that was active throughout the midbar as well. But it's really kaddish. And Rosh Hashanah, actually, you have to be mekadosh. Meaning, it doesn't have to do as a bechor. If you want to be makrav, you can bring it as a separate different kod. Mekadosh as a kod, but bechor was bechor concept was suspended. So it's in line with the previous version, just the wording is a bit different. Yochanan the dance, he said, okay, so then you're saying exactly identically like us. I mean, so what are you changing? The positions are still the same. Rabbi Yochanan says there was Kedushas Bukhar, and Rabbi Yochanan says there wasn't. Kamash, from the point here is, he's teaching us Shachayev Odom Loim B'Shein Rabbi, a person is obligated to repeat in verbatim as his Rebbe had stated as the source. So he was just sort of correcting the wordiology, but not the actual positions, which stay the same. Okay, so we learned about Kedushas Bechor, which started upon leaving Mitzrayim, continued on the Midbar to a certain extent, and over to Eretz Yisrael, where it was certainly active. It applies to Bechor Adam, Bechor Behema Temeya, such as a firstborn donkey, and a firstborn Behema Tahira. Now, the Levim in the Midbar exempted the Bechor Yisrael. Therefore, they certainly could exempt themselves, so they're already fully designated for Hashem's service and Hashem's people, and that's sort of all-encompassing and addresses their Bechorah element within them as well, which need not be tended to separately. A Chiddush that one Seh can technically address many Chamoirim, and we discussed the Machlekes, Tzimrich and Shlokish, all agree that the ones left in Mitzrayim had Kedushas Bechor. Likewise, upon entering Eretz Yisrael, with Kedushas Bechor in the Midbar is up for Machlekes. Okay, thank you so much for joining. All the best to you. Hatzlacha Rabbah.